The TV commercial once said, "You only go around once in life. Grab all the gusto you can." That's not a bad idea. But the gusto you should grab is probably not what most people have in mind. A lot of Christians are falling victim to the mad dash for self-fulfillment. Today, you'll hear a challenge to a pleasure-mad culture that's infecting the church. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series describes seven secret snares that can trap the Christian. Today, Dr. Lutzer turns our attention to snare number six, pleasure, life on empty.
You have to do what is best for you, therefore pursue pleasure, go for it. What's wrong with that statement? Is there anything wrong with that statement? Would I surprise you if I were to say that there's nothing wrong with it? That it is true both psychologically and ethically, properly understood? That might be a surprise. It is true psychologically because Pascal was not the only person who knows that as human beings, we always seek pleasure and seek ways to avoid pain. In this series of messages, you remember we've talked about alcoholism and drugs and pornography and what have you. And those are all ways that people are, what are they trying to do? They're trying to seek happiness and avoid pain. Doing it in the wrong way, but nonetheless, that's their motivation. But that's true of all of us. We seek pleasure and avoid pain. Secondly, it is true ethically in this sense that there is nothing wrong with the pursuit of pleasure. The real point is, what pleasures are you pursuing? The Bible is very clear that there are two different kinds of pleasure. There is what we would call worldly pleasures, and we're going to talk about those today, but there are also God pleasures. Imagine this. In thy presence there is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What's heaven going to be? Heaven is going to be a pleasure. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Oh, I hope that you were listening to the choir as they sang, Jesu, joy of man's desiring, holy wisdom, love most bright. And then speaking of those who receive their joy from Christ, theirs is beauty's fairest pleasure. There is wisdom's holy treasure. Thou dost ever lead thine own in the love of joys unknown. Go for pleasure. But make sure that you're seeking the right ones. A man by the name of Henry Sugal wrote that the soul of man hath in it a raging and inextinguishable thirst, and that thirst seeks to be quenched. You and I are born with that. Pascal called it that God-shaped vacuum, but we are born with a raging thirst. And the question is, where can our thirst be quenched? When the Bible talks about pleasures of the world, it always does so in a negative light. It talks about the pleasures of God very positively, obviously, but the pleasures of this world negatively. And we live in a pleasure-crazy world, worldly pleasures. This past week, I finally decided to scan Neil Postman's book, Amusing Ourselves to Death. And in the book, he said that it used to be that there were cities that represented America. Boston, the intellectual liberal establishment. You have, for example, also Chicago, the city of industry. You have New York as the melting pot. He said the city that best characterizes us today is Las Vegas. Glitz, glamour, money, 24-hour-a-day parties. That's the age in which you and I live. People are doing all kinds of things for pleasure. problem is that they are running on empty because they are the wrong pleasures, as we shall see today. I mentioned a moment ago that the Bible speaks negatively of the pleasures of this world. You remember in 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, in the last days, perilous times are going to come. Men will be lovers of their own selves. And then he says, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And that's really the key. It is that these pleasures lure us and crowd God out. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, this is a series of messages titled Seven Secret Snares, and we've talked about some of those snares, obviously. What about the snare of pleasure? I mean, is that really a serious snare? As I began to reflect on this and prepare this message, I began to understand how very, very serious it really is. So serious that it's probably the one thing that we find most difficult to accept, the one snare that we most easily fall into without even knowing it. And if God today can show us how easily we fall into it and what the marks of that fall really are, we will have achieved something, because you and I are loath to accept the message that I'm just going to preach today. Take your Bibles now and turn to 1 John. 1 John, three verses, three powerful verses. This is not the Gospel of John now. 1 John is near the end of the New Testament, just a few pages before the book of Revelation. And John is speaking here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, your translation might say, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, it says, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man or woman who does the will of God lives forever. What I'd like us to do today is to see why we must avoid the snare of the world, which is a snare, really, of pleasure. First of all, because of what the world is, because of what it is. You'll notice that he speaks of the world that we are supposed to hate. Now, let me be very clear that the word world in the Bible is used in various ways. For example, there's the world of people, for God loved the world. That's not the world we're supposed to hate. There is the world of nature. We don't have to hate the world of nature, though it can mislead us. This is the world as an organized system. It's a world, really, that is antagonistic toward God and His truth. We sometimes use the word world in that sense in other ways. For example, you hear a news reporter say, I'm going to bring you a report from the world of sports. He's not talking about some other planet that's out there. He's talking about the organized system that we call sports, though some sports do appear to be unorganized. But that's what's meant. Now, this world system, what do we know about it? First of all, it is a very subtle satanic system. Because your Bibles are open to 1 John chapter 2, notice what John says now in chapter 5, verse 19. We know that we are children of God, and can you even believe this? The whole world is under the control of the evil one. He is the organizing principle. He is the prince of the power of the air. He is the one who keeps the system unified to the extent that it is. He is the one who has the goals and the desires and the aspirations that he loves to impose upon people who do not know that they are being led by him. So it is a very subtle system. It is a seductive system, as we'll see in a moment, because it comes to us very innocently. The world presents itself to us as something that we need because it is tied in with some very legitimate needs and aspirations and desires, and sometimes we don't know where to separate the one from the other. We're talking here about powerful seduction. It is also a world, though, that competes for our love for God. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, notice, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love the world, you may not be born again. The love of the Father is not in you. That's how antagonistic the world is to God. There are two loves in verse 15, the love of the world and the love of God. Many years ago, there was a book written, I think, All That I Ever Learned, I Learned in Kindergarten, something like that. It's close enough for my purposes. I could write a book entitled, All the Theology I Ever Learned, I Learned from My Children's Questions. You know, you talk about being a father. Fathers have to be marvelous theologians, or else simply tell their children to be quiet and ask the pastor. That's the option that you have. One day, our daughter Lori, who is always ahead of herself, maybe 7 or 8 years old, said to me as we were praying together or preparing to pray, she said, Dad, should we love everybody? You can know that when a child asks a question in that tone of voice, there is a catch coming. I said, yes, of course we should love everybody. A little hesitantly, I said that. And then she said, well, you know what that means? That means that we should love Satan too, shouldn't we? Oh, child. No, Lori. We love people, but we do not love Satan. Satan is God's antagonist, and we have absolutely no room in our hearts to love him at all. And he does not deserve love. And he is on a trajectory that is going to lead him to the eternal pit and eternal judgment, which he so richly deserves. So we don't love the devil. No, we sure don't love the devil. And we don't love what he tries to do to us. What the devil tries to do is to make sin look good to us. This is Pastor Lutzer. And we need to recognize that when we follow his ways, we will always end in disaster. I know that this is difficult to convey to young people, and actually difficult for all of us as adults as well. But we need to understand that whatever pleasures Satan has for us, the love of the world that we've been talking about, that love always ends up with ashes in our mouth. If we could only see our lives long range, if we could only see into eternity, we'd really know that the best pleasures are those that God gives us and not the pleasures that the devil offers us that have come so sweetly poisoned. Well, may God give us the discernment to be able to recognize his traps set for us along the path of life.
That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part one of Pleasure, Life on Empty, another message in his series on seven secret snares. Monday, more insights from the Bible on the seductions of worldly pleasure. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This series can be yours in the book, Seven Snares of the Enemy, by Dr. Lutzer. Your copy will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for Monday's Running to Win.